Blog Talk Radio.
Make me a better Muslim, purify my thought. I seek refuge in thee from the accursed Shaitan. And I submit totally, God, my word is bond. I know I'm always screaming about righteousness, and it seems like I'm on some self-righteous tip. But no man is free of sin, I'm fighting my jihad. It's an everyday struggle and the fight is hard, but I'm striving hard to be a better person, Lord. Cause I know that I'm far from being perfect, Lord. I'm in no moral position to be judging none, just trying to be a warner before the real judgment comes. That's why in my raps I say what I say, but I'm in the same boat, so I pray every day. Allah strengthen me with humility to deal with my lieutenant. Good soldiers here and obey, help me to represent it. Help me to fight off Satan for real, and help me to deal with this pain that I feel, this anger I feel. Help me live up to the name Muhammad and submit to the truth that you came to reveal. Forgive me for my sins and have mercy on me. Protect me from Satan and the evil he's working on me. Living in this devil's world, putting a hurting on me. The devil trying to end my show and close the curtain on me. Too many enemies plotting, any day I can die. If you're not in my corner, there's no way I survive. But if this your will for me to go, then I'm going in the wind. I'm a soldier and I'm gonna stand strong to the end. Help me provide for my wife, I be working hard. But what I make ain't enough and she deserves it all. I barely make enough for us to make it and live, and she deserves so much more than I'm able to give. I wanna do so much for my family, and the fact that I can is so sad to me. The stress be dragging me, feels like I need a new port and a fat bag of weed. But that's against the restrictive laws I won't ignore. Within the law is my success, plus I sign Form 4. So I pray to you, Lord, help me kill them thoughts. I tell myself it'll get better, but I feel it's not. Looking for better days, but I'm stuck for now. Ain't seen the mosque in 2 months because my truck broke down. I'm stressed out, I'm just keeping it as real as I can. When your pocket's on E, it's hard to feel like a man. I used to get money in my criminal days, but I refuse to go back to my criminal ways. I don't wanna be the nigga that I was before. I was born to be a fool, it's in my blood for show. I'm wrestling with demons from my past that haunt me. Mistakes I made, things I've done that I can't shake off me. Killing me softly, and I can't let it go. I got issues with my anger, always ready to blow. Ready to fight anybody, kamikaze can't help this. But sometimes I wonder and sit back and ask myself, is this because I'm fearless, or do I have a death wish? At night I can't sleep, I toss and turn cause I'm restless. Dealing with these demons, disturbing my peace. On my prayer rug till it's hurting my knees. Over law, you know the children gone back to their mom. Please watch over them and keep them on the path of Islam. I hardly see them anymore, Lord, I miss them a lot. And the pain from it got my heart twisted in knots. My wife got sons that I love and I'm adopting them soon. Plus you blessed us with the baby that she got in the womb. She's a high risk pregnancy, I say that it's scary. She was pregnant once before, but the baby miscarried. So please bless her with the strength, I'm asking you, Lord. I'm begging you please, like I've never asked you before. Oh Allah, please help me to endure my trials. My self-accusing spirit talking to me and I hear it. It's telling me Allah is surely with the patient. Seek refuge in the law and resist temptation. So I beseech your help and beg your mercy indeed. For I believe in you and trust in you for all that I need. And I'm a helper in your cause with your apostle. So please grant to me success, Lord, Allahu Akbar. Amen, amen, amen.
And in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, and teacher, and guide in our midst, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet you all once again in our nation, greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you, dear brother. And also, it is my distinct honor to present to you my dear brother, my Wali. He is such a wonderful, wonderful gift to us, to the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, doing a magnificent work and duty down there in Tampa, Florida. And I thank Allah for you, dear brother, for all of the knowledge and wisdom and understanding that you have committed to share with us, not only for a good part of last year, but continuing on this year. So I just want to say that I thank you. I appreciate you. You know I love you much. All praise is due to Allah, student minister James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, dear Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad. Again, and as always, it is I who am the grateful one, the honored and privileged one. First and foremost, to Allah, always, for allowing me to be in this year, 2014, hoping and praying that he will bless me to be a better servant, a more obedient helper to his servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so I'm thankful to Allah God for this great, great, great opportunity. And, of course, we are thankful to Allah for you, dear sister, for your great work in 2013, as well as what we anticipate will be maximized here in 2014, taking Blog Talk Radio to a new and higher level of avenue through which to share the message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and to restore a broken people and to raise them up from the condition that not just 400 years of slavery, but 6,000 years being under the rebellious leadership of an enemy of God. I thank you, dear sister, for extending this wonderful forum to me and by extension to all of those faithful and loyal audience members who have been with us in 2013 and inshallah will continue to be with us in 2014. We thank Allah for you. And as always,
all praise Allah.
Yes, and as always, in the name of Allah, invoking the help of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, we bear witness that there is no God but He, and we are forever indebted to Allah for making His presence known to the most honorable Elijah Muhammad in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and he then making his presence known to us all. We thank Allah for his exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, through whom we have been given the beloved and blessed Redeemer, the reminder, the comforter, the spirit of truth, who has, is, and will guide us into all truth. That man of whom I speak is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, growing daily, being made, in fact, made into the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in his messianic position and responsibility to complete the work of the Messiah, he being a Messiah himself. We thank Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And today, this evening, we are very blessed to host a longtime companion and student, fellow student in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, a brother probably whom many of you do not know or may not even have heard of, but a brother that in my 25 years of being blessed to know him and to work with him has demonstrated to me such scholarship and understanding of the Bible and the Quran as it relates to and substantiates the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as they have been so clearly delivered, abundantly given to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I'm speaking of my dear brother hailing from the city of Winter Haven, Florida, student minister Oscar Muhammad, a profound student of the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, a student of both Bible and Quran. And I must confess that whenever I am about to deliver a message, when and wherever that message may be delivered, I always consult him for scripture, for scriptural exegesis and understanding, because he is a treasure trove of wisdom and understanding of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And there are many throughout America, and I would say throughout the world, but I know definitely throughout America, that are what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan referred to as, or who are rather, what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan referred to as unwrapped gifts. Unwrapped gifts. These are they who have a wonderful quality of expression of the message, diligent workers in the cause of the resurrection of our people. But don't get too much airtime. Yet they continue to work, not necessarily under the cloak of darkness, but non-ceremoniously working. There's no fanfare as such, not having the big posts and the big titles. There are many who are diligent, effective servants and helpers in this work, assisting the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And Brother Oscar, in my humble opinion, is one. And I am so grateful to Allah that he has agreed to join us. He said that he would be here approximately 9:30 as he conducts the study group in Winter Haven, Florida tonight. We'll be joined, inshallah, by him, and then you personally, our beloved listening audience, can attest to the veracity, to the truthfulness of what your little brother is saying to you regarding our brother and student in the ministry, Brother Oscar Muhammad. As you all know, we are studying the time and what must be done. And in the installments 51 and 52, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is focusing on the reality of the wheel, that great mother plane, which he refers to as Allah's God's calling card. He stated in installment number 51, he said, our subject on the 51st edition of The Time and What Must Be Done is the wheel, that great mother plane. Again, Allah's God's calling card. We are nearing the end of our year-long series of The Time and What Must Be Done. And as I have said in previous broadcasts, we would take up the subject of the wheel. I want to conclude, the minister states, these broadcasts with the wheel, dealing with, number one, the importance of the wheel, number two, the relevance of the wheel, and number three, and what that wheel represents in terms of the attributes of Allah God. And while we were dealing with this subject last week and very briefly the week before with student minister Dimitri Muhammad and student minister Ilya Rashad Muhammad, the author of that great book, UFOs and the Nation of Islam. And then dealing a bit more substantively last week, the question that we centered upon is, why now? Why have these wheels now made themselves more visible with repeated and escalated occurrences of their presence? Why now? What is significant about the hour in which we live that these wheels now are more evidently coming into play? And what do they have to do with these magnificent three men? Master Farad Muhammad, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, all of whom are under the name, the sons or son of man. And I was reading in preparation for this particular show, the chapter Ezekiel, the first chapter. I wanted to read the whole book, actually, because it deals substantively, but in symbolic language, with the wheel. The wheel, and the instructions that came from the wheel by the Son of Man that was on the wheel to another Son of Man who was sent to a rebellious house. I'd like to read it while we await the arrival of our beloved brother. I want to begin, however, with the instructions that were given to this Son of Man from the wheel. And he said unto me, Son of Man, stand upon thy feet. This is the second chapter of Ezekiel. And I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of Man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children, and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, Son of Man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, Son of Man, hear what I say unto thee. Be thou not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, chapter 3 begins, he said unto me, Son of Man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. And as an adamant harder than flint, I have made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go, get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. Now, brothers and sisters, for those of us who have been following the series, the lecture series, particularly installments 51 and 52, but specifically in 51, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan excerpts some of the words that he delivered in that historic press conference on October 24, 1989, wherein he revealed that he went to the wheel by Allah God's grace, and heard the voice of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad speaking to him as clearly as those whom he was addressing and would address him that day, testifying to the physical life, the continued physical life of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a man whom many believe has physically passed away. Yet he stood boldly and uncompromisingly and without fear or trepidation, following the instructions that were given to him by that scroll, or on that scroll that he said was revealed to him on the wheel. And he ate it, which means to digest its contents or content. And he shared that faithful message to those who were gathered. My brothers and sisters, many of you, particularly those of you who are not necessarily in the Nation of Islam proper, that is to say those of you who don't consider yourself Muslims, while we consider all black people and all people of color Muslims. We're not going to debate about it because Islam is not really a religion. Islam is the nature of God and the nature in which he created man. There are many different faith expression titles that are imposed upon the natural expression of man's obedience to his creator. You can say Christian, you can say Jew, you can say Muslim, you can say Buddhist, You can say Zoroastrianism. Forgive my mispronunciation of it. But you can say what you will say. Islam is the natural way of life of the black man and woman of the earth. And it simply means peace. Peace. And how is that peace arrived at? Every supplicant, every Muslim, every Christian, sincere in their expression, is inclined to obey, not their will, as Jesus said, but the will of the Father who art in heaven. His will be done. And every religionist, under whatever title or expression they may wish to be under, wants to and attempts to and strives to obey God. Well, we as Muslims are no different. We strive to obey God. And when we strive to obey God and obey God, He secures us. And in that security, we find our peace. For He is the grantor of security. He is our patron. And it is to He, or to Him and Him alone, that we betake refuge. This is why the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan taught us not to carry so much as a penknife that might hint at some of the carnal weapons of this world. Not so much as a penknife are we allowed to carry on our persons, and we cannot even store weapons in our homes. He is our protector. We fear not the arrow that flies by day or by night. He is, as the Bible says, our shield and our buckler. How else can the Honorable, or could the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stand against such powerful enemy and call out and expose the synagogue of Satan at its root? And there's nothing they can do with him. They cannot stop him. They cannot even slow him up. They wished for his death and thought that their wishes would be fulfilled on a few occasions. But Almighty God, Allah, to show the power that He exercises on and through His servant, He takes him to the doors of death and right to the jaws of death, and then snatches him out of those jaws and puts him before the enemy and the world to show His restoration, His reformation, and His strength. Yes, those of you who are desirous and express in your precatory prayers that the minister will be harmed or die soon, let me say to you unequivocally that we believe that he will outlive all of his enemies and bury all of his enemies, as it is written, "Come and sit by my side while I make thine enemies thy footstool." This is a promise that Allah has made binding on himself to fulfill to and for his servant and those who follow him. So we are thankful to Almighty God Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as we discuss parts 51 and 52, the wheel, Allah's God calling God. Well, I'm hoping that brother will join us. It's 9:30 by my time. He should be calling in. Well, actually 9:29. He should be calling in. very, very, very shortly. I don't want to open up the floor to the audience to engage in this discussion without him being present. I don't necessarily want to field any of the questions. I want to direct these questions and defer these questions to our esteemed guest panelist. So I hope he joins us very, very, very soon. Sister Queen Aziza, would you like to make some comments before our brother joins us?
I knew you were going to do that to me, so I came prepared.
Praise be to Allah.
I came prepared, but
no.
You won't hear from me tonight, but I got my backup with me just in case. So if you don't mind, I'm going to yield to Brother Reginald, and I think he has some comments he might want to make, and we'll hold the questions until Brother Oscar gets here, and I'll send him a text message just to see where he is. But allow me to bring him. Sorry?
Oh, go right ahead. Yeah, go right ahead, sis, and I was disagreeing with you. I want to say a couple of words about our brother Reginald Wynn, whom I've known for many, many, many years. He's a brother whom I've been blessed to have in my home. He has a wonderful insight into the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Now, Brother Reginald is not necessarily a registered member, but you would never, ever be able to tell that.
All praises be
to
God.
Right.
Never. This is to indicate to us that registration, although it's important, does not make a Muslim. I want you to understand.
Come on. Come on.
A Muslim is one who is a Muslim in his or her heart. Yes,
sir.
The formality of registration is exceedingly important. I'm not trying to devalue the significance and importance of it, but that's a step that our brother is in the process of making. But when you hear him, you wouldn't know the difference at all.
All praises be to Allah.
So I thank Allah for you, Brother Reggie. I really, really, really do. And now, the floor is yours, dear brother.
I thank him for you, Brother Minister James, because you know you were my first mentor in the Nation of Islam, hailing from out of Tampa, Florida, because that is my hometown. And it would be incorrect not to put the credit right back in your corner. Of course, all praises are due to Allah. But let
That's
me first
right.
by saying, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who appeared to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi. And I am forever grateful for Master Farad Muhammad for raising one up in our midst from among our loins, the black man and woman in the wilderness of North America, to teach and carry his message in a clear and plain way so that we can be resurrected spiritually, mentally, morally, and more righteously. And I thank Allah for giving and protecting the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and continuing to resonate in us and to make us realize how real he is in our lives today. And I also would like to thank Allah for allowing and permitting the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad the option to choose the best student that he taught. And that man is our friend. He's our comforter. He's a warrior. He's a true comforter. And he is on the scene for us today. He appears to many as the Jesus of 2,000 years ago. And as believers, we see and we know that he is the Jesus of 2,000 years ago in the present time, because he constantly does what Jesus had to do in the chapter of John in the Bible. He constantly has to fight with the so-called Jews. And this is just one revelation to prove that the man on the scene today, the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is our divine mercy and grace in the latter days before this great will takes action amongst this evil Satan or devil. It is in their name that I greet you with the greeting words of peace and paradise. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Well, once again, I thank you, Sister Queen. You know, anytime you need me, I you know I'm always here for you. Just like I said to you, you asked me, was I going to tune in? And I had to tell you, you know I'm not going a second without my fix. I have to have my fix. When it comes to these teachings, I have to have my fix. And if I, you know, so you don't have to even ask me to twice, because Allah, as long as he have breath in my body, I have found an avenue to learn the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad through the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and through his wonderful, mighty ministers that he put before us and you put on this show. And also the ones, the little ones, the least of these, like Brother Minister James said in the beginning, like Jesus said, inasmuch as you have done to the least of these, so have you done it unto me. So it's the least of these that are doing work as well. And we thank you because it's all about the resurrection of our people. And as long as that is our ultimate goal, we will remain little saviors and big helpers to the most honorable Louis Farrakhan. Now, where I want to come from, until the brother comes, because I don't want to ask any questions, but I thought, Brother Minister James, that it would be appropriate to say what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said according to the will in the message to the black man, chapter 125, and which is entitled Battle in the Sky is Near. And I'm just going to cover a few things that he said, because you covered the Ezekiel part very well, and I'm going to deal with some of the other things that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke of that I think will make us even feel better as to why we don't need to carry one piece of a pen. Only pens we need to carry is the pens on our coats, the lapel pens. That's the only thing that we need to carry. Okay, so he says, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when guns and shells took the place of the sword, man's best defense against such weapons was a trench, a ditch. Poison gas and liquid fire brought him out. Today, he has left the surface for the sky to destroy his enemy by dropping and exploding bombs on each other. All this was known in the days of Ezekiel, and God revealed it to him, that through Ezekiel we might now know what to expect at the end of this world. The originator in his people, us, the original black people, are supremely wise, he says. Today we see the white race preparing for the sky battle to determine who shall remain and rule this earth, black or white. In the battle between God and the disbelievers in the days of Noah, the victor's weapon was water. He used fire in the case of Sodom and Gomorrah. In the battle against Pharaoh, he used 10 different weapons, which included fire and water, hailstones, and great armies of the insect world in droughts, and finally plagued them with death. The Holy Quran says the chastisement of Pharaoh was like that which God would use against his enemies in the last days. And throughout the Bible, in Holy Quran teachings on the judgment and destruction of the enemies, fire will be used as the last weapons. The earth's greatest arms are fire and weapon. I mean water. Now, this is important here. The whole of its atmosphere, and this goes to show you how Islam is science and mathematics, and this is the third grade man teaching us this now. The whole of its atmosphere is made up of fire and water and gases, and it serves as a protected coat of arms against any falling fragments from her neighbors. Ezekiel saw wheels in the middle of a wheel, and this is true. The universe in the universe is made up of revolving spheres. They are wheels in the wheel. So as we can see, beloved guests, beloved friends, we have backup. We don't have anything to worry about. If our teacher is not worried, we have to worry about. We must do is continue to fast. We must continue to pray, and we must continue to eat to live. And we must be prepared by having our preparedness kits ready for this battle that is imminent. It is imminent. So be prepared. And it is nothing spooky about this. It is nothing spooky about this. And I was today, for because I wanted to have a question for this subject, but I don't know if I want to save it as a question, Brother Minister, or I should make the statement. But it was put in my vision to go to YouTube and see what the wheels that, you know, the Caucasian has been denying, and now all of a sudden some Caucasians, a lot of Caucasians are saying they've had the visions and have experienced even going up on these wheels. Well, you know, Satan, you know, he wants to always seem like he's wise. So my question was going to be, do you really believe that our people who originated this wheel would actually call them up to make most of them compromise with them? And why do they always want to portray the people on the wheel or the entities on the wheel as these alien-looking beings? This, in my opinion, is another form of trichnology, and we should not fall for that because these are our people, the Asiatic original people of the universe. So I just want to share that in my opening. And also Revelations 12 speaks about a war in heaven. Yeah. And it says, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place any more in heaven. And go down to verse 12. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time, because the wheels are here. And I thank you for letting me share that, Brother Minister, and thank you, Sister Queen, for having me once again.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Reginald. And I just want you to know, Brother James, that Brother Oscar is on the line at this time.
Excellent. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu.
And so, dear friend, and I'm hoping that he heard Brother Reginald's comment as well as his question so that he could address it after his introductory remarks. First of all, I want to welcome our dear brother and fellow longtime a fellow student and companion in this mission of the resurrection of the dead under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's direct leadership and guidance, our beloved brother, our counselor, our mentor, Brother Student Minister Oscar Muhammad from the Winter Haven, Florida Study Group. Brother Oscar, you have the floor, sir. Wa alaikum salam. I am marvelous. Allah's amazing grace, immeasurable love, and incomparable mercy. I trust that you, yours, the Blog Talk family of Muhammad, and the entire body of Christ are the same.
Yeah.
Since this is my first time, I'll just have to scratch my way through, knowing you, Brother James. I don't know what I can offer that you probably haven't already offered. But I understand, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that our subject is The Time and What Must Be Done, Part 152. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. And 51 as well.
51 and 52.
And okay. 52. Brother Reginald had he posed a question along with a comment, and I would ask him to repeat it so that you could respond to it, dear brother, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum, brother. Assalamu alaikum, brother. And
Assalam.
Thank you for accepting my question. My question was, lately we have been exposed to the Caucasians being the main visionaries of these wills. And recently they have been saying that they have been called on the will. And a lot of them have said that they have had, the so-called aliens are compromising with them, telling them everything is going to be all right, and they put implants in them and whatnot. But they always seem to show these alien-like beings with, with the big heads, green eyes, and the tall, skinny people, and really they call them grays. My question is to you, should we even believe that, or how does these entities on the wheel, in your opinion or from your study, how should we expect them to appear to us?
Oh, yes, sir. Well, let me greet you properly and then respond to your question. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who appeared in the person of Master Wallace Farad Muhammad, the self-guided son of man, the supreme being, whom praise is due forever, as taught by the most honored Elijah Muhammad, who, in actual fact, a death plot in 1975.
That's right.
Is still physically alive.
That's right.
Exalted in his presence, possessor of power over this known universe, Christ, the Jesus we have been looking for, and making his great commission known, is his national representative, the ambassador of Christ, the chief executive officer of the Muhammad Mosque, the real Corpus Christi, and are the lost found nation of Islam in the West, both registered and unregistered.
That's right.
Now, with respect to the wheel, that great mother plane, Allah's calling card, the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad has taught, and the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, in his expanded breadth of the teachings of the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad,
teaches us that this mother wheel was built right here on the planet Earth, because the planet Earth is the home of the supreme life existence in the universe. And that is the supreme life existence in the universe because the most experimentation takes place right here on planet Earth. And that these scientists who have the duty and responsibility of putting this together came from different parts of the Earth, and they are all our brothers and sisters. This did not come from the Caucasian community. They're working on our behalf. Now, knowing that Caucasian society is a world built on falsehood, this is their weapon. Deceit, falsehood, lies, stealing, and murder. These only weapons that they have left. Keep the people dumbed down, wallowing in aboriginal ignorance, because very few people, and most assuredly the so-called American Negro, challenge anything the Caucasian leadership says. We never question the first teacher. All our questions are for the second teacher, but we let the first teacher get off scot-free without raising him any questions.
That's right.
Now, in Minister Farrakhan's closing remarks in part 52, he says, in closing, I'm talking to many UFOologists, and they know nothing about the destructive side of the wheel, because in their study of the wheel, they never saw that, nor have they ever knew that. And that is why Professor Michael Leeb, in his book called The Children of Ezekiel, included the Nation of Islam, Elijah Muhammad, and Louis Farrakhan. Professor Leeb is a professor of English and a research professor of humanities, also a senior fellow at the Divinity School at the University of Chicago. During an October 16, 2003, one-on-one interview with the Farrakhan newspaper. Do the questions tell us about your book, Children of Ezekiel, in which you included Minister Farrakhan? Professor Lee's response was, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan represent the capstone to this study of so-called UFOs. Now, the mere fact that he used the language so-called UFOs means that he has empirical knowledge that they're not unidentified flying objects.
Go ahead.
But they are, in fact, identified flying objects. And the minister says, what is the meaning of capstone? It is the crowning point. It is the most important element. It is the decisive element. All of the scholars that talk about these UFOs, they talk, but they don't know the reality. They don't know the aim. They don't know its purpose, but they know something about it after observing it, after studying it, but they believe it comes from somewhere else. So while the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Louis Farrakhan, quote unquote, the capstone of that study, the scientists of the world think that it's from someone somewhere else other than Earth, because they have never seen from any scientist of any nation on Earth the ability to produce what they have been observing and studying. In their minds, they are the masters of the Earth and its people, and they knew no one that could produce what they have been looking at from this planet, so they call these fields extraterrestrial. Well, the Bible teaches Satan deceived the whole world. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that 98% of the people, of the aboriginal people, have been mastered. But from the 2% that they have not mastered has come that which is above their heads. It is the clearest sign. If you say that the technology is so far ahead of you that the scientists are already bowing and admitting that they are absolutely overcome, dumbfounded, amazed, awestruck, and astounded by the majesty of the wisdom being displayed by the wheel, then why don't you want to admit then that, one, Allah is present, and two, God is the most wise. And since you don't have any wisdom to match that, then the most wise is present. Since you have no power to reach it, but it has the power to reach you anytime it desires, then know that a superior or supreme power is present, then why don't you admit that God has entered into the equation, fulfilling everything that has been prophesied of the coming of God, the coming of the great Mahdi, and the presence of the Christ, the presence of the Messiah. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, Brother Elder. Alaykum salam. I thank you, Brother Elder, for that all those words of wisdom that you have given us. Thank you. All praises be to Allah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Reginald, for your question, and thank you, Brother Oscar, for that most illustrious and in-depth answer. Dear Queen, we'd like to open up the lines now to engage our listening audience in this discussion by the grace of God.
Yes, sir. Okay, let me remind the listening audience to press 1 on your phone if you have a question, and don't make me call you out because you know I'll come and get you, but I understand that the lines are turning over, so you may get kicked out, but if you do, just call back in or hit me in the chat room, and I will get your question. But we do have some questions in the chat room.
Yes, ma'am. Well, by all means, they certainly may be heard.
Okay, yes, sir. The first question is from Sister Destiny. She says, how will the wheel that is said to destroy prevent the righteous from being killed during its wrath?
Very good
okay.
question.
Is that question directed to me?
All of them are, dear brother.
Oh, yes, sir.
Your little brother is going to defer every question to you. Thank you.
If you remember, Mr. Farrakhan teaches that the wheel has two natures, one of death and life, one of blessings and cursing.
Yeah.
Obviously, the blessings, the life and blessings are for those who make the proper response with respect to paying respect to the laws, statutes, commandments, and guidance of God. The death and cursings is for the rebels, the wicked, the transgressors, the adversary. And since God is possessor of power over all things, he has definitely made preparation to save his people, and most assuredly, his servant. If it gets to that point. But let's back up a moment. Mr. Farrakhan represents the last vestige of mercy to the United States of America and their historical legacy with respect to black people.
Yes.
And Allah's mercy takes precedence over his wrath. We are presently involved in Muhammad's economic blueprint ending poverty and want. And a minister has a very comprehensive program laid out. Because of the transatlantic slave trade, the promise of 40 acres and a mule that we never got, compromise of 1877.
Come on,
brother. All the amendments that don't mean a tinker's damn. They got one last small window of opportunity to defeat prophecy, just as in the history of Jonah and ancient Nineveh. When you study the Bible and Quran, you find that this was the only event in which the prophet was successful in staving off the wrath and the people who put on sackcloth and ashes, bowed down in atonement, and did what was necessary to hold off their total and utter destruction for a period of time, of course. Well, we're at that point right here in America, where they have the same opportunity to put this off. For those of you who read the Farrakhan Call newspaper, they have the Muslim program, which, by the way, the Muslim program isn't just those registered Muslims in the nation program. This is why in my introduction I said the Lost Found Nation of Islam in the West, both registered and unregistered. That means every black man, woman, and child, not only in America, but on the planet. But in point number four, we say we want our people in America's parents or grandparents were descendants from slaves to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land and that the area must be fertile and minerally rich. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs. Since we cannot get along with them in peace and equality, after giving them 400 years of our sweat and blood and receiving in return some of the worst treatment human beings have ever experienced, we believe our contributions to this land and the suffering forced upon us by white America justifies our demand for complete separation in a state, a territory of our own. For this is their window of opportunity. You know, we've suffered the battered wife syndrome, so now we want a divorce. We want alimony. We want reparations. We want independence. We want sovereignty. So Congress can take this program and make the proper response, or we got the wheel. Allah
is
calling car. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Beautiful, brother Oscar. Yeah. Sister Aziza?
Yes, sir. I'm here. I'm trying to manage these rooms. Okay. We're going to take
Understood.
A call from the phone lines. So area code 224, your mic is now live. Area code 224. Okay, going once, going twice. Okay. All right. We have a question from Brother Eugenio who wants to know, oh, God, tell me I lost it. I know he said he wanted to know how did the mother plane relate to black people, but that's not what he said exactly. He wanted to know the abilities of black people. That's what he wanted to know. The physical abilities of black people. That's his question.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the best way to answer that is you have to understand what time segment we're living in. Because as the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad has said, and Mr. Farrakhan has repeated, you can't judge the black man and woman now because we are other than ourselves. So what you're looking at in the form of a so-called Negro, which is a manufactured entity by the Caucasian race, you can't judge the black man and woman of America. So the process that we are involved in right now is referred to as the resurrection of the dead. And this is what both Bible and Holy Quran is talking about. We are the dead, not physically dead, but the mental, moral, political, economic, spiritual deed. And we have to be resurrected back to life. So the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad teaches that the brain of the black man, infinite, there are no limitations with respect to what the black man and woman can accomplish. This is why one of our mottos is, up, you mighty nation, you can accomplish what you will. But unfortunately, we've been saturated with this orientation of mind of Caucasian superiority and black inferiority. So both those minds have to be destroyed so that we can do what Master Farad Muhammad said was his greatest teaching, accept your own and be yourself. Things that you see that you marvel over in Eurocentric society, they got from us.
That's right.
There's nothing you can point to that they originated or made because they don't have that kind of power. It's just that in our dead state, our mentally, morally, spiritually dead state, it's very difficult for us to see who we really are. And who we really are the direct descendants of the originator of the heavens and the earth. That's our true identity. So, we've entered into this process that's referred to in the scriptures as the resurrection of the dead. Not this hocus-pocus psycho-babble that we got on the slave plantation and has been carried on even to this day in most of the churches in the South anyway, that there's a devil in the ground killing the fire 10 times hotter than the sun that's going to burn you up after you did, but the good folk going to go somewhere in the sweet by and by between the clouds and have sweet milk and honey for the rest of their days. That's slavery teaching. There's no truth. There's no reality in that. You're living the reality today. And that's the best way that I can answer that question. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. All praises and peace to Allah. Thank you, Brother Oscar.
Okay, are you ready for some more questions, Brother James?
Oh, absolutely. I am thoroughly enjoying this, as you know, this
yes.
And Brother Oscar, I have been trying to get you on this show for the longest. He's a very humble, unassuming brother, but brilliant in his exegesis and understanding of the Bible, the Quran, as it relates to the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So I am just ecstatic listening. So go ahead, continue this, sister.
Okay, we might be having some problems with the phone lines because I don't know if there's too many people calling in or what's going on, but of course, those of you who may be having difficulty, just hit me in the chat room. Chat rooms are working fine, so hit me on the blog talk chat or my Gmail chat. But we have a question from Brother Tony. He says, where are these planes kept when they are not in the atmosphere?
I believe this question was to the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad one time, and the answer that he gave at that particular time was wherever God want to be, because we can't calculate where he will go, but I would like to share, based on that question, I would like to share a piece of information that Dr. Wesley Muhammad has in his monumental book titled The Book of God. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that book, but it's a very comprehensive book, and it has about 426 pages or so. But let me share this portion anyway. With respect to, in his book on page 330, he says, according to Master Farad Muhammad, The mothership is a huge circular craft, a half mile by half mile in size. It serves as, among other things, a carrier for 1,500 smaller crafts called baby planes, which are the dish-shaped crafts labeled UFOs by the press. The mothership of wheel is said to travel at 9,000 miles per hour in any direction without making a complete turn. The baby planes have the same maneuverability. They're also called bomber planes because each one carries three highly explosive bombs, said to be 30% more powerful than those used by America. According to Master Parag Muhammad, the mother ship and her fleet of baby planes were built on a Nipponese island situated off the coast of Japan. They were built by a fraternity of black scientists that has been operating clandestinely for thousands of years, the 24 scientists. Construction of the craft began in 1909 and was completed in 1929, the year it took flight. $1 million in gold were reportedly covertly drawn from the treasury of Mecca every year to finance this operation at a total cost of $20 million. $100 million is reported to have been drawn from the treasury, but the rest went into other operations. The blueprints were reportedly made in the holy city Mecca thousands of years ago and turned over to the Japanese at the time of the operation. The motor, we are told, was built in China over the course of 9 years. This fraternal order of black scientists spent a year recruiting the best minds from the Aboriginal nation to work on this project. Many of them said to originate from the hidden civilizations discussed in above. 25,000 workmen are said to have been assembled from various non-white countries. Each scientist and workman worked on a specific part of the craft which they had no knowledge of. Security on this project was of paramount importance as to not alert the Western government who would have attempted to arrest this development. The Nipponese Islands were best suited for this purpose. The entire population of 500 islands looks exactly like and is spaced so tightly that they provide heavy camouflage. Once one departs from an island, it is almost impossible to return to that same island. Maintaining compass direction is difficult because of the high magnetic interference. The construction of the wheel was reportedly undertaken in an underground shelter that was excavated for this operation. The shelter was said to be 1,000 feet deep and 5,280 feet in width. The walls and ceilings, we are told, were crystallized to protect against magnetic radiation bombardment and to provide light, which maintained a constant temperature of 75.0 degrees in the shelter. The temperature was never under or over the 10,000ths of 75 degrees. This was for the special metal that was used to build the craft. This was the only temperature at which the metal would fuse together. There was no welding or seams used. The metal was mined in Outer Mongolia and around the Gobi Desert, we are told. The mothership of wheel displays the supremely advanced level of scientific and mathematical understanding possessed by this hidden civilization. The motor is actually six motors enclosed in one big motor measuring 1,320 feet in diameter. It is designed to take in oxygen from the atmosphere and convert it into electromagnetic energy that is distributed throughout the craft. The spirit that causes the metal of the craft to pulsate or breathe. The craft is able to reduce its own gravity and travel on the lines of magnetic force, allowing it to reach astonishing speed. There's reportedly a radar television system within the mothership so advanced it allows its pilots to read the names of street signs from 300 miles above the earth. The craft also employs an infrared system that enables the pilots to see 5 miles within the earth's crust. And along with that, the minister teaches us that this advanced technology is 1 million years ahead of anything that the Caucasian has. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Beautiful.
Yes, sir. Praise us to Allah. Okay. We have a question from Amir. I hope I'm saying that right. Brother Amir says, how did we lose our knowledge of the sciences? Even today, those unenslaved generations of Africans are dying from the inability to do for self.
Oh, yes, ma'am. This takes us right back to this process of the resurrection of the dead. See, our people knew that a new creature was coming on the planet. And who can't rule at the same time? So our advanced knowledge, wisdom, technology, agriculture, sciences, everything had to be hidden and buried, some under forest, some under the sea, some in the sands of the desert. It had to be buried because the new nocturnal creature had to be able to manufacture a world of his own. And his world would have to be manufactured in accord with the nature in which he was manufactured, which was to be an opposer, an adversary to the laws, statutes, commandments, and guidance of God. Matter of fact, little is it known, that's what the word democracy means. Now, when we go to school, we're taught in the school that democracy means government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And, of course, the statement is true, but what they leave out is they don't tell us what kind of people.
Come on, beloved.
You see, the root to this is Greek, and it comes from the Greek word demos, which means demon. There's a government of the demons, by the demons, for the demons. And just look at what we're faced with today. Everything Bible and Holy Quran said don't do, the government of the United States says, we are going to give you license. That is, you can drink all you want to. You can eat all the pig you want to. Ain't no penalty for adultery. Ain't no penalty for fornication. Ain't no penalty for anything. Ain't no penalty for prostitution. You got license in a democracy to violate every divine law there is. Now, Mr. Farrakhan gives us a definition for resurrection. Because we had to die in order that the Caucasian people would have a term as the Holy Quran teaches, every nation has a turn.
Yeah.
You see, you can't dismiss that term, nor can you hold back that term. But that term is a set period of time. And the set period of time of the Caucasian's term of authority, control, dominion, and rule was set at 6,000 years. We are in the time of the end of that 6,000-year rule process. So now that means we have to come to life. We can't remain dead if we're going to replace his rule. So Mr. Farrakhan says resurrection is that process that begins with the self-accusing spirit and does not end until we become one in perfect harmony or peace with Allah and his creation. See, under Caucasian rule, we haven't been that. Under Caucasian rule, we have been his boy and his girl, no knowledge of self, no knowledge of the reality of God, and no knowledge of him. But now as we are being resurrected, now as we are coming into our own, he can't handle us the way he did in the past. That is, not the ones who are awake. This is why the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad is referred to in Scripture as the first begotten of the deep, meaning that he's not the only one. He's the first begotten of the dead, and the rest of the dead come behind him. So this is what we're looking at when we look at our people, in America in particular, and all over the planet Earth. We're so far away from what we were originally that we have to go through this process to get back to reflecting our Father, who is God himself, the Supreme Being. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum salam. Okay, and we, excuse me, I'm losing my voice. I apologize. We have a call on the line, area code 616. Your mic is now live.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Well, like a salam, Brother Andre, student minister,
yes.
Andre, let me say.
Yes, ma'am, all praise is due to Allah. I want to give the greetings to my beautiful sister Aziza and also to the distinguished guests on the panel and also my dear brother and host, student minister James Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, Brother Andre. Always wonderful to hear your voice, brother.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to call in and show my support. I'm not too familiar with what the topic is tonight, but for my little bit of time that I've been on so far, I've heard some exegesis on the wheel, and oh my God, that is a beautiful topic for this time and for this time period. You know, to just even be speaking on that topic is just powerful. So, I just wanted to call in and show my support and, you know, just listen and be a student if that's possible. Or if you want me to be on the panel, that's fine as well, too.
Well, Brother Andre, you are always welcome in any capacity, dear brother, when you're
yes,
here. So we thank Allah
yes,
for your support, always.
Yes,
always,
sir.
Well, I'm just going to leave your mic open, Brother Andre, and if you want to contribute something at any given time, you just speak up and your mic open. But we have some more
okay.
questions in the chat room, and they're coming so fast. And I just want to tell the audience, I know that you all may be having some issues on the phone because I can tell by the activity in the chat room. if I don't get to ask your question live, you know I make my word by. I will stay up all night answering your questions and seeking the information that you request. So let me get to Brother Jason. And I think this is a little off topic, but, you know, when our brothers and sisters come to us in need, I think that we have the duty as Muslims to extend the hand of brotherhood and sisterhood and help them. And Brother Jason, I think I remember him. He says, I'm trying to do right. How do I choose? I have visited many churches and never felt welcome. And then he said, Sister Queen invited me and talked to me about Islam, and I thank her because she was the only one who took the time. But how do I choose when there are so many practices of faith to choose from? I need help. So we have four ministers, because Brother Reginald, he's a minister as well. We have four wonderful gentlemen on here. So somebody please give Brother Jason some advice.
Well, dear sister and my dear beloved Brother Jason, I'm going to defer, of course, to Brother Oscar to give him the first opportunity to respond to that question. And, of course, anyone who wants to weigh in after Brother Oscar's response is certainly welcome to do so. But it's an excellent question. So, Brother Oscar, would you respond? Thank you, dear brother.
The question reminds me of myself way back when, around 1971 and 72, when I was searching for truth, because I grew up in the Methodist Church. And I had questions that pastors just wouldn't answer, and bishops and nobody else. So I went on a search. And I started studying with the Baptists. Couldn't find anything that comforted my mind there. So I went back to the Methodists. Was the same old song. Started then studying with the Seventh-day Adventists. It got me a little closer to answering some of my questions, but there was still a big question mark there. So I had some students that I had taught in high school who invited me to come out to a meeting where there was a minister teaching the teachings of the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad. And this was the statement he made that really caught my attention and caused me to start doing research and intense study on my own. He says, the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad says, if your religion is not found in the universal order of creation, then you have no religion at all. That statement stuck with me more than anything else I had heard. That means you can't separate religion from reality. And this is the problem our people make. They got religion setting off on an island somewhere where everything takes place in religion that just blows mathematics, science, physics, language, heredity, genetics, color, medicine out the water. You can't do that. If your religion is accurate and true and right, since God is the creator of it all, it has to encompass all of that, because as the Holy Quran teaches,
yeah,
Allah is the truth, and he created the heavens and earth in truth. So you can't take firewood and set it over on an island and say, well, this is religious. It's kind of like when back during the time of, I believe it was Galileo, and he was trying to tell the people that the earth was round. And the third class was telling him it was flat, and that what he was teaching was heresy. And that if you got in your ship and you traveled, because the earth was flat, you would fall off the edge over in space somewhere. Well, he didn't have enough backbone to stand his ground. He just did like most of our people do. He went along, go along to get along, and so that he wouldn't be ostracized and censored. But as the evolutionary process of life took place, they found out that he was right all the time. The earth is round, and it revolves as in a sphere. Well, this is what you have to do in your search for religion. If somebody is teaching something that defies all the laws of gravity, defies all the laws of heredity, genetics, science, mathematics, agriculture, you know there's something wrong with that religion or that perception of religion. So if you just follow the universal order of creation and truth, you end up with the right religion. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful answer.
Absolutely. Does anyone else want to comment?
Sister Aziza, I'd like to weigh in if that's fine, if that's okay with everybody on the panel.
Go right ahead, brother.
Go ahead.
That's it.
Yes, sir. I would just only I can't really the only thing I can do really is add to what Brother Oscar had said. Basically, he's absolutely 100% correct concerning the statement of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad when he says that if your religion does not come with the universe, then you don't have any religion at all. That verse is bear witness by the verse in the Quran, in Surah 30, if I'm correct, where it speaks about, I'm not quoting it verbatim, but it says that to set your face upright for religion, the nature in which he has created man. Within that verse, it speaks about the nature of creation or that religion. A religion is a practice or a set of principles or belief that is accepted and practiced by a number or a group of people. Actually, in layman's terms, it is also considered a way of life. So when you have the particular religion that says set your face upright for the religion or the supreme religion, the nature in which he has created man. So that just bears witness to what Brother Oscar had already spoken of, and I just wanted to add that to his exegesis of that question. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Andre.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, I just want to offer something to Brother Jason, because I do recall our conversation. And, you know, Brother, more so than anything, you have to look at the desire of your heart. And the reason why I say that is because you started out saying that you want to get right. And so the first thing you do is to not do those things that you know that you are doing incorrectly. And you have access to the internet, so you have access to all sorts of information. And if it's Islam you're seeking, then I know what city you're in. You're in D.C., so go to the mosque in D.C. Sit down there. You don't have to join when you walk in the door. You can visit on any given Sunday as many times as you like to absorb and understand that knowledge and know that I'm offering up myself. I'm here whenever you need me, if you have questions or concerns or whatever. But if you are really seeking to be right, that begins with you. And the application of the process begins with you. You have to work out your salvation. So Islam is very, very useful and beneficial to you, but only if you practice it. And that goes with any faith. So I don't want you to get spooky and start looking for miracles inside of buildings. It really begins within you. Establish your personal relationship with God in whatever faith you decide to take on and start to work. And work is a action word, work out your salvation. And that's just what I wanted to give to Brother Jason. Okay, we're going to take another question.
But let me say that's very beautiful advice there, Queen. Wonderfully
thank
put.
You.
And I think that you're speaking to more than Brother Jason. I'm sure there are many others who have those same concerns. And very sage, very wonderful, very measured advice, dear sister. May Allah continue to bless you in your counsel. Allah
thank you. I'll pray
thank you too,
Allah.
Brother Oscar and Brother Andre. Thank you all.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay, Brother Kimmett, I think that's how you pronounce it. He wants to know, when will we go to war with the enemy? We have over 400 years of deceit, abuse, and murder. In history, people have fought for what they called freedom. What is wrong with us? Are we too busy fighting one another?
Yes, ma'am. Well, first of all, we have been at war.
Thank you, Brother Oscar.
Since 1930, we have been at war. But this is the important factor to focus on. Whenever we hear that word war, the first thought that hit our mind is guns and tanks and machines and knives and swords and weapons of all kinds. But the first war is the mind war. So we're involved in mind wars first. Because if we were involved in physical confrontation, and let's say by some abracadabra, we defeated the Caucasian race today, well, Satan would still be alive and well on planet Earth because, for the most part, our people still had a mind of Caucasian miseducation, mistraining, falsehood, and rebellion. So we got to deal with the mind war first. This is why the scripture says, let this mind be in you. the same mind that is in Christ Jesus. Take off the old man. Put on the new man. This is why Minister Farrakhan is still working so feverishly among us. He's working to put the mind of Christ in us. We don't want to rebuild the same thing that we're trying to get away from. And if we pick up carnal weapons and go out trying to engage ourselves in physical confrontation, that's just more of the same. That's just more of the same. Now, a new growth is supposed to be put into us so that we will become new creatures. We're going through the metamorphosis now, just as you look at a caterpillar, a strange, curly-looking creature crawling on his belly through the trees and through the shrubs. But because of the evolutionary process, at some point, provided he's able to endure until the end and doesn't get crushed or killed while he's a caterpillar, he enters into a chrysalis. He comes out beautiful butterfly flying high above that which he once crawled. Likewise it is with us. We are to become masters in the land wherein once we were the slave.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom rail is to come to the top. We are climbing Jacob's ladder, and each rung goes higher and higher. But it's got to be done with a new mind. Then once we get that new mind, we fulfill our destiny, which is the material self and ultimately the universe. So we're fighting this war, brother, right now. It's a mind war. If you notice, students of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, under the leadership of Donald Nelson, we don't carry no weapons. We don't even carry as much as a penknife.
Mm-hmm.
And we check everybody coming into our meetings to make sure that there's an atmosphere of peace and tranquility for all. We don't allow any contraband in our meetings. We want a totally peaceful environment. Why? Because we know we have divine protection.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need a weapon. We got it. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Beautiful. Beautiful, Brother Oscar.
Okay. And we have a question from a sister. Wait a minute. Okay, Sister Leona. She says that the minister spoke that the women are the aggressors in business and in education. When in scripture or does it will once again stand?
Hmm.
Hmm. Wow, what a question.
Yes.
When
go ahead, brother.
Will the black man stand? Well, this goes back to the point of getting our minds right. You know, one of the things that Minister Farrakhan came under criticism about from these half-learned critics was when he came out and he said to us, I have found something that belongs to us. And he directed us to a course of study that is called Dianetics. Now, a lot of people, with their twisted minds, by just being surface dwellers, thought that he was directing us to the Church of Scientology.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Church of Scientology is just the house that has the course of study. So you have to look at that just as, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, seek knowledge even unto China. But if we go to China to get some knowledge, we're getting the knowledge to come back and use it for the benefit of ourselves, our family, our community, and our nation. We didn't go to China to become Chinese. Well, it's the same situation with Dianetic. And maybe our people don't understand what it is. It's the modern science of mental health. It is a technology which can help to alleviate such things as unwanted sensations, emotions, accidents, injuries, psychosomatic illnesses, mental stresses, and for us in the Nation of Islam and in the black community and in the language of theology, exorcise demons.
That's right.
And get all of that out, because contrary to popular belief, thoughts have weight and they occupy space. And we
That's
got
right.
a lot of mental mass that we need to get rid of. So in the process of getting rid of all this, in our supreme wisdom lessons, Master Faraz Muhammad called it poison and rust. And all we have to do is look at our condition, and we know there's got to be some poison and rust on our minds. Don't own nothing. Don't control nothing. Don't provide any goods and services to our people. Everybody in our community picking our bones clean. Everything you can think of. So, in Mr. Brockhart's introductory letter to the self-improvement course, in one of his paragraphs, he says this. It is not enough that we grow horizontally through the acquisition of farms, factories, banks, industry, trade, commerce, money, good homes. As you can see by the daily news, Allah is destroying and rendering bankrupt people who have money and good homes. Why? Because horizontal growth alone, and pay close attention to that, horizontal growth alone is death, meaning that if you got a pocket full of money, big-time bank account, you're hanging out with the rich and famous, and that's all you got, you're still dead. All dead things are on a horizontal level. Therefore, we must grow vertically, grow in uprightness, or we will be overcome by our horizontal growth, meaning that if you don't have any mental, moral, spiritual correctness, if you're not operating from a root base of righteousness of character, your money, your big bank account, your big home, your penthouse, not going to do you any good. So in the black man standing up, he got to stand up in righteousness, else he will never stand up. He's got to give up the old man. Give up all the crap, the play, the wickedness, the abuse of his woman. Got to be an upright man. Got to go vertically. And you can't put the cart before the horse. You got to do the first thing first. You got to get the mind right. Because all these other things are promised to us. That's the promise. Luxury, money, good homes, and friendships in all walks of life. But we got to get it in the quest of building the kingdom of God. Because when you say the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Islam, the kingdom of righteousness, you're saying the same thing. It all means the same identical thing. But we got to be right. This is why the scripture said the race is not to the strong or to the swift, but he or she who can endure until the end. And that endurance is based on the statement that it is our righteousness that shall sustain us. So that's when the black man going to stand up, when he finally make up his mind that the only way out of this is to be right. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Yes, sir. Okay, Brother James, are you back with us? Okay, his call had dropped, but I think he's on the line. Student Minister James? Okay, maybe not. Well, we only have about 3 minutes for the show, so I wanted to come to you, Brother Oscar, and see if there are any closing remarks you would like to leave with us before you go. And I want to personally thank you for accepting my invitation. I didn't know what to expect when I contacted you earlier today, but all praise is due to Allah. I am so honored that you came on and you blessed us with such wisdom and such knowledge and such patience and expertise in your expression. So I just want to personally thank you on behalf of Student Minister James. We seem to have lost him, and I know the phone lines are just backed up, so I probably won't be able to get him back to close us out. But are there any words of wisdom or anything that you want to say to us before we close out tonight?
Ma'am, I just want to say that I appreciate the invitation, and private night is always study course night, and I've usually been tied up with overtime where I couldn't get on, but I'm glad I was finally able to make some time to get on your program, and I want to thank you once again, and extend my gratitude to both you and Brother James for inviting me to this program. And
yes,
I would like to close with Minister Farrakhan's closing paragraph in this 52. He says, the capstone with the all-seeing eye represents God's search of the earth for his people, the lost sheep, that he would find and restore and make them the head and not the tail. The capstone of the pyramid of knowledge sitting on top of the knowledge of this world, I say to you, you can't complete or perfect anything that you have done or desire to do without the knowledge of that wheel and the science and technology that is in it, on it, and coming from it. Professor Lieb, in his interview from the final call, further states that when it comes to the Nation of Islam, it's a study of the mother plane and its apocalyptic overtone. What did he mean, apocalyptic? Apocalyptic means describing or prophesying the complete destruction of the world, resembling the end of the world, momentous or catastrophic, of or resembling the biblical apocalypse. And no one on this earth is speaking like that but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and his minister, Louis Farrakhan. Thank you for allowing me to come before you. As I greet you in peace, I salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Oscar. And once again, thank you so, so very much. And I was trying to get Student Minister James back. I don't think I'm going to be able to get him back, but we have a question, it appears. So we're going to take one last question, and then we're going to close out. So 832, your mic is now live.
As-salamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I just want to say I love my kings and my queens. That's it. That's the only comment I have.
Yes. I know who this is. Thank you, Milton. Thank you so much for your support. That's my friend of over 30-plus years. Love you much. You know I do.
Love y'all.
Thank you, beloved. Okay, let me give the lineup for the rest of the week. Join us tomorrow right back here at 8 o'clock for Young, Gifted, and Black. I think I misspoke last night about the topic, but tomorrow is going to be the significance of the black woman. That's the topic for tomorrow, the significance of the black woman, and that's going to be brought on by our youth. So join us and support them at 8 o'clock tomorrow, Central Time. On Sunday, join us for the last No Romance Without Finance show as we allow Brother Vernon to make his exit and take his sabbatical and get married. He's going to be gone for a little while, but we're going to try to bring Brother Tony Muhammad on so he can introduce the new program, the new show that we're adding on Sunday called The Movement. And that's going to be a temporary show, I guess, until Brother Vernon gets back. So join us Sunday, 6:30 for that. On Monday, 8 p.m., Conscious Black Nation with Brother Kareem Muhammad. On Tuesday, 8 p.m., I'm on the front line with the Fruit of Islam. Wednesday, DJ Black Caesar and Friends at 7 p.m. That's our hip-hop comedy show. And, of course, next week I'll be back on Thursday at 8 p.m. with Student Minister Stanley Muhammad for part one of his series of nation building and building a family, building a happy family. That's the name of his series. And, of course, next Friday night, 8 p.m. Central, we'll be right back here with Student Minister James Muhammad for our live study group, Put on the New Man. Now, I don't know what the topic is going to be unless he's going to continue on with the time and what must be done, because we can talk about that 52-week lecture series for the rest of the year because it was so much detail that the minister provided for us. But inshallah, we'll be able to post that up early for you this week to give you an idea of what study group is going to be about. And so that's our lineup for the week. I want to thank the listening audience. Thank you, Brother Reginald Wynn, for coming in and stepping in, always being right there by my side. Love you much. Thank you, Nephew Eugenio, keeping my chat room alive. Thank you all so much, the listening audience, all the callers. And if you didn't get in, I'm sorry, hit me in the chat room. I'm up all night. So thank you once again. May Allah bless you. May Allah keep all of us and bless us with your light and understanding. So I leave you as we came before you in our greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaykum salam.